multiple students that I've mentored over the years ended up becoming my coworkers. And like, that is just the coolest thing ever. Like to see these people working in the pro-life movement alongside of me and watching them grow and then like seeing like the impact they're having. And it just shows that like anybody can do this in whatever capacity, you know, they can give. And that's what's required of us.
All right, folks, my name is Cam. I am the host of the show, and this is Humans of the Pro-Life Movement, a section of the Pro-Life Guys podcast where I get to feature some of the really cool people working behind the scenes or at the very front of the scenes in the global pro-life movement. Today, I am joined by Jesse from Michigan. How are you doing, Jesse?
I'm doing good. How are you, Cam?
I am living the dream. I am 3 days time of recording away from flying down to Florida to do our Florida Abortion Awareness Project. And I know that it's probably not fair to lump all Americans into the same boat, but it'll be cool to talk to Americans again and that kind of thing. Have you ever been to Canada before, or are you yes. America only? You've been to Canada. Whereabouts have you been in Canada before?
Okay, so I've been to Ontario and then Alberta as well.
Okay. So, did you notice any kind of like crazy culture change or any major revelations, differences, people you talked to, or not really? I know I'm putting you on the spot. This is not at all what I told you that I was going to talk about at all, but you know what? My brain got to Florida and the differences between, or what I think the differences are between Florida. I'm curious, from your time in Ontario, Alberta, did you notice any major differences, or was it just kind of regular people?
I mean, I think the biggest difference is just like the sorries that happen a lot and the A's. But other than that, I don't know. I feel like, a lot of times when I visit, it's to like people that I know and are from like Dutch background, similar to me. So I feel like we have enough like common ground. It doesn't feel too different.
Gotcha. Gotcha. Fair enough. That's cool. And hopefully there's even more cross-pollination between, I know that our groups, Protect Life Michigan and CCPR, have done a lot of work together. I know that the first way that you and I got in touch was talking about internships and sharing kind of know-how for internships and that kind of thing, which is cool. And I think that one of your colleagues might even be coming up to visit us here in our Calgary office sometime this spring, which is really cool. But before we get kind of into the minutiae of your job role is called a strategic initiatives manager, and I really want to know what that is all about. Before we get into that, I am very curious as to how you kind of found yourself working for Protect Life Michigan. Is this your journey into the pro-life movement? Is it something that you had circled on your career calendar from a young age? Was it something that kind of sprung itself upon you while you were in university? What was your journey like into the pro-life movement?
Yeah, so this is kind of a funny story. Being on here is kind of a full circle moment for me because CCBR is kind of why I'm here, working in the pro-life movement. Yeah. Yeah. Excuse me. So when I was in college, Jonathan Van Maren actually came and spoke at my church and talked about abortion. And I was majoring in social work at the time. I was planning to work in, you know, child welfare, foster care, something like that. But his talk on abortion really like broke my heart, opened my eyes up to the reality of what's happening. And I was like, wow, this is something that is really important. You know, I grew up pro-life my whole life, but never saw really the reality of what it was. And so I saw what it was. And then I realized there was something that I could do about it. And it still was not my my career plan by any means, but I started getting more involved. I got involved in the pro-life group on campus, and that's where I ended up meeting Kristen, who's the executive director of Protect Life Michigan. And after I graduated, she came to me and was like, you know, you want to work for us and we have to fundraise our salaries. And I was like, nope, can't do that. That is way too hard. So I said no, and I ended up working for Right to Life in Michigan for about a year and a half after college. And then a little part of my job was working with high school and college students, and I loved that part of my job. And so I kept thinking back to Kristen and her in the organization and the work she did, and I was like, man, that really sounds like something I want to do. So I reached out to her, and here I am 7 years later.
Cool. And so I mentioned it off the top, strategic initiatives manager. Was that the role that you moved directly into, or has it kind of been a few dots along the way moving into that role, or where did you enter into the Protect Life Michigan fold?
Yeah. So when I started, we were a small team of three. And so okay. I was like a campus activist. I worked on college campuses in Michigan. And over the years, I've transitioned through a lot of different roles. Eventually, I took over the college program and kind of managed it as we grew. And then this past year, I transitioned into the strategic initiatives role.
Gotcha. And I'm going to, so our mutual friend, because I assume that you know Blaise Elaine and whatnot. And I was chatting with him about a week ago, and he said that the inspiration behind his job title, he is now the Eastern Strategic Initiatives Director for CCBR, that his job title was motivated by your job title. And I'm curious, just to put it bluntly, what does being a strategic initiatives manager entail? What does your day-to-day look like?
Yeah. So basically the role came about because, you know, we're always so busy working on all these different programs that we have, whether it's high school or college or young professionals. And we found that a lot of the times these like bigger ideas and new things that we wanted to try out just like either didn't happen or they did, but everybody was like very stressed about them because they just got dumped on their workload they already had. So we started thinking about how we really need like a team that's their job is to work on, you know, these big goals that we have. And so that's kind of how it came about. And really the purpose of my job is to kind of look at, you know, where we want to be in 5-10 years, how we're going to get there, and then work on the projects and the plans that we need to do that. I will say my job looks a little different right now because we decided to plan a full-time summer internship and that's what I'm doing right now.
Okay. All the prep work, all like processing applications and reference calls kind of thing, or figuring out what you're going to get them to do day in and day out kind of thing, or a little bit of both.
All of it.
Yep.
I have a team of people that help me. So it's not just me, okay. But yeah, we've done internships in the past, but they've only been like 2 days a week. And so jumping okay. into something full-time it's a lot.
It's a lot, and I will definitely keep you guys in our prayers. I know that Adelaide is going to be coming up here to visit. I know that you've spent a lot of time with our Eastern office as well. I think about my first couple summers as intern director and how many talks I wrote the night before I gave them of like, oh, well, somebody is sick and therefore, oh, we don't have enough people to do choice chain right now because we need 4 people to do that and we're down to 3. I guess we're going to be at the office all day tomorrow. What am I going to get people to do that isn't going to be super boring? And so I would like madly research a talk and give a 2-hour talk on something and then get people to do a reflection or answer some questions or something like that. It's a lot of work filling time and making it as meaningful as possible. And so I know that you guys have a phenomenal team there working on it. And you guys have a huge team too. Like I had no idea how many people were on staff, and that's got to be really, really cool when it comes to the growth of the organization. You mentioned when you started about 7 years ago, you were one of 3 or 4 people that started and the significant growth. And I want to get to how you guys have experienced that growth. But I first want to talk about kind of your first impressions when Kristen approached you about coming on staff, because I feel like every time I approach somebody for coming on staff or even doing an internship, there's some kind of like starstruck mentality of like, oh, I'm not good enough. I'm not strong enough. I'm not capable enough to do what you're asking me to do. And I feel like I spend so much time not derailing myself or not like cutting my own feet out from under me, but like, I feel like it's important for people to know that it's regular people who get involved in the pro-life movement who go on to do amazing things. When you first were approached by Kristen, was that kind of your experience as well of like, oh, I could never do what she's doing? And either way, when you're now approaching people to do internships or working with new staff members, do you find that you invest a little bit of time into making out just how normal people in the pro-life movement actually are?
Yeah, for sure. So, I interned for Protect Life Michigan my senior year of college, and that's kind of how I got to know Kristen. And then as I worked at my other job, then I would see her here and there. We'd work together a little bit. And I'd always look at her and be like, how does she do it? Like, how is she running this organization, you know, fundraising her salary? I could never. Like, I vividly remember sitting at an event, watching her talk and being like, I want to do that, but I can't. Like, I cannot do that. And I really do think it was a couple years process of, you know, praying and finding, you know, God's will and God's strength, because that's really what, you know, pushed me there, was to, you know, the encouragement of Kristen and others and knowing that this is where God wanted me. But yeah, I definitely felt like I was not qualified. And it's not something I was ever thinking about. It wasn't on my radar. You know, it's not a typical career path, for people. So it was definitely a surprise. And I do see that even with, you know, my coworkers now, or our interns or our students, when we're having those conversations about, you know, what they're going to do afterwards, you know, it's a lot of, they don't feel like that's something they can do, whether it's, you know, financial or their skill set or whatever. But I've also seen, like, from my days working on college campuses, I've had like such a cool opportunity that like multiple students that I've mentored over the years ended up becoming my coworkers. And like, that is just the coolest thing ever. Like, to see these people working in the pro-life movement alongside of me and watching them grow, and then like seeing like the impact they're having. And it just shows that like anybody can do this in whatever capacity, you know, they can give. And that's what's required of us.
And I think I'm curious in your thoughts about the how we empower people in the movement to leverage their skills, their talents, their experiences, all that kind of thing. I remember vividly when I was an intern, the impression that was given at a lot of our talks was, if you're under 30, we want you volunteering for us. If you're over 30, we want you donating to us. Kind of mentality that, like, they're very, very specific niches that people can fit in. If you're this kind of person, then you can be a street level activist. If you're that kind of person, then it's probably best if you just pray for us and donate to us, kind of thing, which, don't get me wrong, we need prayers, we need donations, all that kind of thing. But I'm curious about your approach to empowering people to be involved in the movement. Have you found in the various roles that you've filled with Protect Life Michigan, just how much different people can offer, whether they're a student, whether they're a stay-at-home parent, whether they are in the midst of their career, at the end of their career, or career's not even on their radar? I'm curious about your experience working with people in different walks of life, different demographics, and how they can all kind of contribute in the same way, I guess, or in different ways, maybe even better to think about.
Yeah. So I will say that Protect Life Michigan is a little bit different in that we primarily focus on young people. Like, that is, our programs consist of that primarily. But we do have, in the past, like when we ran a campaign a year and a half ago, you know, we had so many volunteers from so many different age groups. And that was really eye-opening for us that, you know, no matter what, how old people are, how young they are, like, people care about this and they can do it. Like, no matter what their skill set or their age, like, I've seen, you know, young high schoolers doing an amazing job at outreach. And we just had, you know, an 18-year-old girl that attended one of our events. And then like the next week she was like, I want to come work for you guys. And now she's on full staff and she is doing such amazing work. Like, it's an amazing thing to see when people, you know, they see what the reality is. I think that's really the big thing that I've noticed helps people, is that, and actually this is something that Jonathan taught me. I remember I was meeting with him a couple of years ago and I was like, I need help. Like, I need to figure out a way to like activate my students. They're like, they just, you know, are seeming apathetic. And he was like, you have to break their hearts about abortion. Like, you have to get them aware and like broken about this issue. And I think that's what we have to do, no matter how old people are, how young they are. Everybody has a place in this movement to do something. And, you know, we just have to break their hearts about abortion and get them involved.
Yeah. Absolutely. And I think that from this past summer, we did our Faces of Abortion tour across Canada. And we talked a lot about fostering relationship between the victims of abortion and the people in the pews and the seats and whatnot, that for so many people, this is an abstract issue of statistics and legislation. And we need to know the statistics and legislation, sure, but we need to know the people impacted by abortion, first and foremost, the preborn children. And when our hearts are broken for these preborn children, we're going to act with urgency. We're going to act with deliberation and with effectiveness to try to change the way that our society views preborn children, how we respond to challenging pregnancies. Absolutely. And so if I can ask, of over these past 7 years, I'm sure that you've had a tremendous number of experiences on campus, and I know that we've alluded to a few of them already. Are there interactions, whether with pro-lifers or with abortion-minded people, that are have kind of etched them their way into your memory banks and whatnot of, I'll never forget this conversation with this person or this interaction or this event that we did? Or are there kind of really memorable experiences that you kind of hold on to from your time now in the pro-life movement here?
Yeah, so I have two that come to mind. One, I was it was probably like my first year working, and I was doing we were doing like a tabling display at a Christian university near me, and we weren't allowed to use graphic images there. So it was, you know, kind of a scaled back version. And I was just shocked at the number of these Christian students that, you know, believed in abortion. And I was having a conversation with these two girls who were telling me, you know, we think abortion is wrong, but we would never, you know, make someone else, you know, push that belief on someone else. And it was the first time that, like, I used my apologetics and I walked them through it all. And at the end, they were like, oh, you are so right. Like, you changed my mind on this. And like, they were genuinely like shook up about it. And I just, like, that feeling is like the best feeling in the world, to know that something you're doing is making an impact and like making a difference. Honestly, it's like what I look back on when I'm like, okay, I need some motivation. So that was one of the core memories. And then the other one was probably about like 4 years ago. We planned our first like summer training event. It was like this 3-day intensive training where we trained in apologetics. We did outreach, and it was kind of like my baby. I planned it, I put it together. And looking back now, like, so many of our staff members now were students at that event and then, you know, went to join our team. And it was just so cool, like, just being able to look back and see, like, if you invest in people and teach them and guide them and then, you know, let them do something about it, they're gonna, you know, keep wanting to do more and make a difference. So
that's so cool. And it is so rewarding to see those people take on leadership and grow. I think of, yeah, our interns that come through our various programs, and you never really know where people are going to fit in and when it's going to happen. And there's sometimes somebody comes and does an internship with you, and then they seemingly fall off the map for a year, a couple of years, as they're working through this or that or the other thing. And then they reemerge and you're like, holy moly, this person is doing really cool stuff. It's not that they ever forgot. I feel like at times we can also be a little bit critical. I'm sure that it's a struggle sometimes that you guys have with your students and with interns and volunteers and whatnot, of like, oh, if only this person dedicated a little bit more time or energy in this direction, they could really make such a big difference. And different people have different stuff on the go, and to know that they can kind of circle back and help out goes a really long way. And so that's really cool. And I'm curious, as a last question, to throw your direction. Obviously, with all the projects that you're working on, with all the campus stuff, the high school stuff, all that kind of thing, We are trying to get better and better at doing both regional and local, but also across the board kind of SWOT analysis of what are we dealing with: strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats. And when you look at the outline of whether it's just in Michigan or whether it's in general, are there particular opportunities or threats that you're seeing that you say, you know what, if I had an extra 15 volunteers, or if we had an extra $25,000 or something like that, we'd really be able to take advantage of this opportunity, or we'd really be able to mitigate this threat? I know that you guys have been through the grind especially over the last couple of years with the state constitution stuff that was coming up and all that kind of thing. When you look at the opportunities and threats kind of staring down the barrel at you guys in Michigan or even the pro-life movement as a whole, what comes to mind and where should we be directing our attention, our thoughts, our time, our energy, our prayers, our finances?
It's a good question, Cam. It's a big question.
It's a big one, I know, but I'm curious where you're at.
Yeah, so I think like the biggest thing I see is like if I could have any resource available to me, I would have manpower. You know, what we've seen is the only thing that is going to change the abortion issue is we need to change public opinion. And we do that, you know, through the abortion images. And we just need more people out there to show them to people, to have conversations, and to do it in a strategic way. So I know, like, for Michigan, like a year and a half ago, we had a devastating loss. And it really, you know, it wiped us out. But I think we've bounced back, you know, with an even bigger passion because we see how bad it is now. And we want to, you know, do what it takes to change, you know, people's opinions on abortion. We saw that that's the biggest need right now. People need to see the reality of abortion. So I think it's a big opportunity for us is to just get out there and show people what's actually happening in our cities.
Totally. Totally. And engaging on that human level, I often think about my colleagues in the political sphere who work day in and day out in the political sphere. And I don't know how much of a politico you are, but I know that I have shied away from politics so often. And it's partly because of the victory loss kind of scenario that there's way fewer not fair to call it competitions, but like I get to see tiny victories every single day. Right. In the educational arm of the pro-life movement, we see tiny victories every single day. And yeah, we have tough conversations. We have conversations that don't go the way that we want them to and interactions and all that kind of thing. And yet I have so much love for colleagues in the political arm where they can't necessarily, I mean, they're having positive and meaningful interactions with politicians and that kind of thing, but often their success or failure is reduced down to those gigantic wins or gigantic losses. And I have no idea how people navigate that. I know that I have a hard enough time navigating a bad conversation, a bad interaction that I have, let alone something that you pour months and months of time into. And so I'm glad that you guys have been able to kind of rally together, and especially with an eye towards the education, to be able to continue witnessing people change their hearts and change their minds on abortion, regardless of what state legislation might be in the current cultural moment, that there's still so much good that can be done, even in spite of these major hurdles that are cropping up politically. Would you share similar sentiments, or do you look at things from a slightly different vantage point?
No, I agree. I think I'm not super involved in politics. They overwhelm me a lot. But I think that area can be really hard. And, you know, like you said, being able to see those small victories is what keeps us going, you know, in our field.
Gotcha. Love it. So I'm going to drop in the show notes below you guys' website and all that kind of stuff. What's coming down the tube for you guys, and how do people get involved? Are you still accepting applications for the internship? How do people get involved? What can they get involved with coming down the tube here in the next couple months or in the next calendar year, I guess, if we were to extend the timeline a little bit?
Yeah. So we have an exciting summer planned with our internship. We actually just closed our applications. Our goal was 15 interns for our first year, and we really far surpassed that. So unfortunately, we had to close our applications, but that's our big focus for this year. But then we also have in August, we do, it's called our Life Advocate Intensive. It's a training event, 3-day training event on apologetics and outreach. And then we also, you know, if anybody's a student in Michigan, whether in high school or college, we love to get connected and either connect you to an existing group or give you resources. So yeah, that's kind of what's coming down the pipeline.
I hope that goes really smoothly. I'm going to be so bold, and we can cut this down if you want to contradict me entirely. I'm on your website now. It says applications are closed. Join the wait list. I would highly recommend joining the wait list because you never know if somebody's going to have something come up in their personal life or something like that that doesn't work out. Join the wait list if you're in Michigan, if you are close to Michigan, if you want to go to Michigan to be an intern. Definitely storm them with your prayers and support as well. Thanks a ton, Jesse, for all the work that you do and for taking the time to join the show today.
Thank you, Cam, and thank you for your whole team, because I'm not sure we'd be where we are without all of the resources and collaboration we've been able to have.
It has been so cool, and that's honestly why I love this Humans to the Pro-Life movement as well, because of the steel sharpening steel, and the number of conversations I think that are happening behind the scenes are so valuable. When I joined the movement, I feel like there's always some fracturing within any movement, but I think that there's been a lot of really good conversations happening amongst different pro-life organizations, and it's been a joy to be able to work with you guys and learn from you and share what we've learned from our own mistakes and that kind of thing. So I hope that this internship goes really well and that everything else coming down the tube goes smooth as well for you guys.
Thank you so much, Cam.